All right, on to item 13, public hearing on striped bass.
Who did that with pizza?
This is a public hearing. Amendments have been proposed that would allow spear fishing. They've been advertised, and we're here before you today to go over them and have the public hearing. I know some members of the dive club, at least one or two, still hanging on or here, will want to speak on it. By way of background, and how this all, the timeline, how this came about, back in January, we received a request from the president of the Mid-Atlantic Free Diving Club, and that letter's attachment one in your packet, requesting allowing them to spearfish or take striped bass, just like they do tautog, stayfish, and every other species of fish. We suggested at that time, rather than go directly to the commission, or directly to FMAC, that the club contact the various angling clubs and try to gauge their support or their feelings on it. And the letter that was emailed out to them by the club is attachment two, and we received only one comment generated from that, and that's attachment three. I assume the rest of the comments went directly to the club. If there were some, I don't know that it generated a lot of comments. This item was then put as a discussion item at the April FMAC committee meeting, where they raised six concerns. One was the increase of harvest of a quota managed species. Second was monitoring the additional harvest. I also wondered about the ability to determine the size of the fish, particularly where we have a slot limit, a closed slot. At that time, we had a closed slot in the spring of 28 to 32 inches and a closed slot for the fall fishery of 28 to 34 inches. Also, they brought up, well, if now you allow a spear fisherman to poke a hole in a fish, can you enforce the gaffing prohibition? I mean, how do you tell when you see a fish back at the dock, it's got a hole in it, that it wasn't gaffed? And also, it's a foregone conclusion that most of the activity is going to occur at the bridge tunnel, where there's already a lot of fishing activity, and they were brought up divers' safety, particularly divers getting entangled or cut with some of this braided line or just, in fact, hooked. Also brought up the possibility of another potential user conflict at the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. This was then put on as an action item for their June meeting. And although FMAC didn't really weigh in on the proposal itself, but they did feel that once they heard what staff had to say and how the club addressed their concerns, that there was sufficient support for a public hearing. Okay, well, what is spearfishing in Virginia? Currently, if I want to go spearfishing, I need a saltwater fishing license, just like any other recreational hook and line fisherman. And in fact, the same is true for bow fishing. And they all follow the same rules, the same season, size, and bag limits of the recreational fishery, with the exception of striped bass. And that's been the case since the early 90s. And more recently, shark, as the federal plan specified certain allowable recreational gears, which we then adopted, and spearfishing isn't one of them for shark. Additionally, since the early 90s, anglers have not been allowed to gaff striped bass. We'll talk about that more very shortly, but further on. It's important to note that a lot of divers are also avid rod and reel anglers and mixed trips, where part of the trip they may go fishing in the morning, maybe slack tide, they move over here and they dive for an hour or two, and then they go back to fishing or they go in, do occur. There is no commercial fishery for spear fishing. There's no sale because there isn't a commercial gear for spear fishing. There's no conflict there. If you look at the coastal states, and really here just looked at the states involved with striped bass, from North Carolina to Maine, all states allow spear fishing for some species. Five states allow spear fishing for striped bass: New Hampshire, Rhode Island, New Jersey, Delaware, and North Carolina. Six states and two jurisdictions do not allow spear fishing for striped bass, and that's Maine, Massachusetts, Connecticut, New York, Maryland, Potomac River Fisheries Commission, District of Columbia, and of course Virginia. Now, I put an asterisk by New York. That's interesting because you go to their website, you don't know, or look at their publications, they allow spearing for striped bass. However, when you talk to the person, you get into the nitty-gritty of it, well, but they don't really allow spear fishing because if you're submerged, you can't use any kind of mechanical device, and they're still kind of working. That's a work in progress. They're not sure what they're going to do, because I know we've received in the two FMAC meetings, well, I think they do allow spear fishing in New York, but from their person there, they said, no, they don't. Now, the issues. When we addressed, along with the fishing club, the issues that have been brought up by the first FMAC meeting, staff believes the catch is, in the scheme of the recreational fishery, it won't be noticed. It won't even be there. States, other states that do, the five states that do allow striped bass spear fishing, the catch isn't monitored in any way. It's negligent at most. And it's, for that reason, it's not monitored. The MRF survey specifically does not address that. Once they find out it was caught spearfishing, it's not part of the survey. So we don't get any estimate of spear-caught fish of any kind, of tautog, spade fish, and flounder, which we know are taken by spearfishing. However, we do realize there may be a need to develop a means to estimate the catch, or at least identify the striped bass spear fishermen. And that seems to be a fairly straightforward and, this tells me, pretty simple way to do that, if deemed necessary. Again, no other states are monitoring their catch. Now, the Chesapeake Bay slot sizes remind you that last month, you eliminated the fall slot, closed slot for striped bass. That 3 month fishery of October, November, and December. So that's no longer a concern, but we do have a 4 week season in the spring where there's a closed slot of 28 to 32 inches. And so we tried to get some idea why are some states allow spearfishing and some don't. When you look at the striped bass regulations in the states that allow spear fishing, you see it's pretty straightforward, like we have for most species. You've got a minimum size and a bag limit, maybe a closed season, but you're not dealing with a something very complex. New Hampshire does have sort of one under, one over, but that's still fairly easy to determine. It's interesting in that Delaware had been at 28 inches. And they petitioned the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission to get, say, we're under our target, feel like we should be able to take a few more fish. We'd like to take a 20 to 26 inch slot fish for 2 months in the summer months. We don't have big fish around, very few at that time. But we do have a lot of resident fish, like the bay fish. And they were granted that. And so beginning in 2009, they have this two-month fishery, slot fishery. But interesting, they did restrict the spear fishermen to 28 inches year-round. So there may be some concern in states, other states, that have more complex regulations. I won't really delve into all this, given that it's 5:30 already. But as you can see, the states that don't allow spearfishing do tend to have more complexity in their seasons and slots. And of course, Virginia had two slots, and now we've eliminated this fall slot. The other issues that FMAC raised was that the no gaffing rule. How are you going to enforce that? Well, gaffing was really something that was instituted to improve release mortality. We've been saving and stockpiling fish since the later 80s, and now, beginning in 1990, we began to open up that fishery. We had a 32-day fishing season, and there was good bit of concern about what's the mortality going to be on a gaff fish. Certainly it's going to be higher than a fish that's brought in with a net or a slit aboard or in some other means. And you have to realize at that time for larger fish, gaffing was just the way they did it. There wasn't the emphasis on catch and release then that there is now. Now you think, well, who would use a gaff even if they could? And that would be my point too. Right now, the fishermen, you see them on the big nets. They're not going to, there's no real reason to use the gaff. They're not going to land it. They don't land any more fish by using the gaff. Plus, to be effective, the gaffing prohibition really has to be enforced on the water. Again, the goal of not allowing gaffing was to improve release mortality. So, there is enforcement of it to be effective to a degree on the water. Now, as luck would have it, the annual Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Committee meeting met between the first FMAC meeting in May and then the second one in June. And during that time, Colonel Waterman surveyed the other states' enforcement officers regarding the two issues, gaffing and safety. And he said that the states that allowed gaffing where spearfishing was legal didn't have any problems with enforcement. And other states felt that even if they did allow spearfishing, the gaffing, the two issues were different and would be enforced differently. They also indicated that they had seen no real safety issues by mixing spearfishermen with rod and reel fishermen. Additionally, annual reports from the Coast Guard also indicate there's a lack of incidents involving spearfishing. So it doesn't, although intuitively you know diving is, if you ask your insurance agent, yeah, it's like right up there with diving off planes. I mean, it's not, there is a safety issue there, but there's nothing innate about spearfishing that makes it any more dangerous. Get to the last issue, and this is the issue that had hoped that public hearing would really, I think you'll benefit from the public hearing and any public comment, because we really can't measure, there's a lot of unknowns with this, but we do expect most of the activity for striped bass to occur in the vicinity of the bridge tunnel, and it's simply a matter of visibility and fish availability. Why not at the Monitor Merrimack or some of the other bridges? You don't have the visibility you need to see. Why don't the spear fishermen go, well, you know there's schools of fish running up and down the coast in the middle of the bay. They need structure. They need to ambush these fish. They can't run them down and catch them. You're not going to sit floating in the middle of the bay waiting, hoping a school comes by and one comes close enough for you to get shot at. So they're going to be at the bridge tunnel. Now, we know spearfishing already coexists at the bridge tunnel, and they're shooting togs, baitfish, sheep's head, triggerfish, and flounder, particularly during the warmer months. You don't have the real... In the warmer months, anglers are doing various things. Yeah, they're around the bridge tunnel, but it's not really as focused at the structure of the pilings and the rock islands like it is in the fall for striped bass. And we already see gear conflicts at the bridge tunnel right now between anglers that fish different ways, some that troll, some that angle. But the diver down flag is, and I say that's an issue, that's attachment 5 in your evaluation, and that's from code. By code, once a vessel has an angler in the water, they have to fly this flag. And once they fly that flag, other vessels have to respect this ambient around the boat of 25 yards or sphere around the boat or vessel, and they're not supposed to cross that line. With a medium-sized vessel of 25 feet and 25 yards on either end, that's not a lot of space in the open water. A place like the Bridge Tunnel in the fall, it could create conflict. Some of the small, narrow places, I mean, it could. But we don't believe there'll be as many divers out there once the water gets to them. I mean, that's part of the unknown. But if you, I did float some way to mitigate that at the FMAC, and no one on FMAC commented, but the divers themselves commented, we're recreational fishermen. We work during the week. Weekends and time we would go, because that was the thought that maybe we can do something on weekends. So it really wouldn't be fair to them as other saltwater anglers or saltwater fishing license holders not to allow them to enjoy their sport on the weekend. Brings us to the proposed amendments. You've got the draft regulation before you, and I can spare you paging through all of it. Everything is on from page 2 to 5 in 4VAC 20-252-20 under the definitions section, page 2. Spear fishing. On page 3 under general prohibition, subsection G. On page 4, concerning recreational fishing, subsection A, slight change there, and then subsection F, page 5. Those would allow spear fishing proposal. This proposal has been advertised in accordance with 28.2-209 of the Code of Virginia for a public hearing today. Attached public notice is part of your evaluation. Staff has received but 4 written public comments since the notice was advertised. You have them in attachment 6. 3 of these comments support the motions or amendments. 1 doesn't address what we've advertised, but suggests some reduction in minimum size. As of noon today, we've received no other comments since you have got everything that I'm aware of. Staff recommends adopting or amending Chapter 4VAC 20-252 pertaining to the taking of striped bass to allow for the recreational harvest of striped bass by spearfishing.
Thank you, Lewis.
Answering questions.
Mr. Schick, I heard you talk about the slot issue and how are we going to relate this into the regulation. It's hard to throw back a slot fish in the spring that's been speared. So are we talking, how are we going to do that?
Well, you can mitigate it. That's one reason why I put Delaware on there. You saw what Delaware did when they'd already allowed spear fishing. And then they decided, they got this slot fishery, so they said, well, we're going to hold the spear fishermen to this greater than 28. In other words, just the minimum size. They didn't have access.
Is that what you're recommending?
Nope. They do it for red drum, but red drum isn't, they're not going to see fish below or just above the slot in red drum, generally. And where those fish are going to be found, there's no visibility. Occasionally you see some in the fall of the year out there. They may see some large red drum, or red drum out there at the Bridge Tunnel, but I would question how often they run across those that the slot size is an issue.
I thought we did away with the slot size.
That one talks in Red Drum, so they're...
I mean on Striped Bass.
We did it in the fall, but the spring still has a 28 or 32 inch for the slot. And it's a 4 week season, whereas the fall season is 3 months.
Any other questions?
Mr. Fox? Red Drum.
Now, you mentioned the Dive a Down flag, you know, supposed to keep a circle of, was it 25 feet or 25 yards?
Yards.
Yards.
Yes, sir. If I said feet, I misspoke. I meant 25.
I guess I'm troubled that if you have a number of the divers around the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel, you could have a number of circles that would be occupying space that other fishermen may want to be using.
That was one of the concerns of the FMAC at their first meeting. Whether it wasn't really verbalized at their second meeting. They were more focused on, is there enough here to move it towards a public hearing?
Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess that's my greatest area of concern, too, is just the gear conflict. I mean, the slot size is an issue. The gaffing prohibition is an issue, but they're relatively small, I think, relative to the potential conflict, just given the fact that this fishery is so concentrated at the Bay Ridge Tunnel. And sport fishing, I mean, spear fishing is obviously an exciting sport and opportunity, but I'm just thinking about the existing fishery we have there. So what happens when somebody anchors up on the tube at the fourth island? I mean, at that point, you've got a mess.
Well, right now, you've got the same thing. If a guy decides he's going to go tog fishing and everyone's waterline up and down the spine of the tube, and he anchors in the same spot, but they're not legally required to stay 25 yards off. So the difference here would be now legally they have to remain 25 yards off.
That's fair, but right there, I mean, the boat that's tog fishing is more likely to be right by the island, whereas if somebody were spearing striped bass, they might be further out over the tube. And some of that might be mitigated by the fact that you're going to be diving on, you know, in between the tides, you know, in slack water, whereas most of your trolling activity is when the water's moving. But yeah, I guess if we approve this, I would suggest that a year from now we build in an automatic review so that we can come back and see if there have been gear conflicts, because I think the potential for it is significant.
That's the unknown that we have going in.
Mr. Lane and then Mr. Fox.
I don't think that they're going to be enough striped bass spear that they're going to have any significant impact on the population. I may be wrong, but I don't think so. And I agree with Mr. Robbins' suggestion that it's certainly reasonable to try this for a while, and if it doesn't work, we can always review it and rescind it. So.
Yep. Mr. Fox?
I was going to look at the other approach, which would be to allow spear fishing everywhere except at the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel, and see how that goes for a year or so, and then think about adding it.
I think from their perspective, you might as well not allow spear fishing, because realistically, that is the spot. I mean, again, you've got a place where the structure, where the fish are going to be, and you've got visibility. You can't even count on visibility at the Bridge Tunnel day in and day out. Enough visibility to do it. So where else would you go? Well, Antebrez Bridge Tunnel, I can tell you half the time the visibility there is less than, you know, your forearm. If you stick your hand out, you can't see the end of it. So there's not a lot of other opportunities. And I think that's part and why when you look at other states, they don't see a problem because they've got jetties or they've got places where it's scattered out. Now, the Delaware Breakwater is an exception, but it's a huge, just kind of round, big old rock breakwater out there, and it's a lot of space there too, and no, the ends of it, depending on the tide, can be preferred places, but I don't think it bunches the fish or the fishermen up like the places on the Bridge Tunnel do, particularly in the fall.
Let's hear from the public on this item. I know we have a couple of folks in the audience who wishes to comment on the proposed amendments. Yes, sir. Okay. Let us have your name for the record.
Alexander Wasbach III. I'm one of the gentlemen that first proposed this in January. Mr. Robbins, I believe your question was, and you brought up a good point, concentrated areas for spear fishing and fishing for striped bass. And you're absolutely correct. Once that current picks up, we only have about a 45-minute window, even if we wanted to go over the tube. Yeah, that can be a popular spot for hook and line fishermen. For spear fishermen, not so much. We're going to be restricted to the leeward side of the bridge tunnel, or, you know, the other 15 miles of pilings that produce many, many striped bass along that whole pylon.
You don't typically fish the tubes?
No, sir. It's pretty dangerous. The current's running way too far. And like I said, there's a slack tide does not last very long in there. And when it is slack tide, hook and line fishermen aren't, you know, catching stripers anyway. So I think they can work together and coexist. And just like in Delaware, they coexist perfectly. There's never been any instances of problems between spear fishermen and hook and line fishermen on the Delaware breakwater. There's a tournament that takes place there almost every weekend, and there's never been any instances. We have got Coast Guard data to also prove there's not been any accidents or anything like that.
Do you have any estimate of the number of spear fishermen in Virginia? Any guess?
I have a representative from the diving industry here with me today that might be able to give you a better idea, but there are two specific clubs. Mine, the Mid-Atlantic Freediver, and there's another one, the Mid-Atlantic Longfin. And both of those are, I've got about 25 members in my club, and I believe the other one's about 50. So
you guys are free diving?
Free diving, yes, sir.
Free diving.
Free diving. Breath hold, yes, sir.
Wow.
So the numbers pale in comparison to the angling clubs that exist out there. And I've been diving and fishing these waters for about 20 years now, and I've never come across any kind of hostility with hook and line fishermen while I'm out there for tall tog during the same season. They're curious. They want to know where the fish are, so I'll give them a heads up.
Let me ask you this. If there's a boat fishing along the bridge tunnel, rod and reel, and you come alongside him and drop your diver flag, is he required to leave the circle?
I couldn't tell you that, but I know divers, they won't do that. They're already fishing that area. They're going to go somewhere else. There's plenty of room. Plenty of room. I've been diving all summer long, and, you know, there's a couple spots that I like to go. Okay, there's fishermen there. I'm going to go somewhere else.
You know the quickest way to get this regulated, assuming they have passed this today, the quickest way to get it back before the commission would be gear conflicts at the bridge tunnel. And you know, if you guys could spread that word to use common sense, you know, the hook and liners far outnumber you.
Oh, I know.
And the more gear conflicts we see, you know, you'll start to fill up the room.
Absolutely. But I also, just like Mr. Gillingham also said, as the water is going to get colder, you're going to see less and less divers out there. The numbers are going to drop, and I've got a threshold myself. I'm not going to be out there below 50 degrees. It gets very uncomfortable.
You can't see somebody free diving when the water's
45
degrees. How do you hold your breath in the water that cold? See,
you just don't know.
The tall tug fishery is during the same time, and I don't know if there's been any issues brought up to this council during tall tug fishing season with spear fishermen and tall tug fishermen, because we're out there during the same time. So
that's a good argument.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Robbins.
Well, and that's fair. I think it'd be reasonable to anticipate increased interest in this if you can go out and spear a 30-pound fish.
Oh, yeah,
because
absolutely.
You can't do that right now.
No. No.
Unless you go to a tower.
We're going to North Carolina or Delaware or, you know, whatever.
Right. So I think it'd be reasonable to anticipate some increase in interest. And to the commissioner's point, if the clubs that are engaged in this can help manage that or preempt that conflict, that would be very positive.
Right.
But, you know, if you're saying that when the water's running, you're not going to be on top of the tubes, that's a good way to preempt that, because that is such a discreet area, and the boats on there are basically on a wagon wheel just going, you know how they
absolutely
rotate through there. If a diver went down in the middle of that, Jack's phone would ring off the hook,
yeah,
I can guarantee.
Yeah, that wasn't a good idea, and that'll be the divers. I'm not going to do that again. We do need structure to swim around, and we can't. There's just no way to run down these fish.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it very much. Yes, sir. Come on up. Yes, sir.
Been involved in the spearfishing industry since 1997. National distributor for a manufacturer, distribute all over North America. And Virginia is a very small portion of our market as far as sales and percentage of revenue. There has been an increase, and I can tell you from dealing with the five local dive shops in Hampton Roads that the numbers that we're talking about are, I wouldn't say negligible, but not significant enough to where, you know, if that would really affect my business one way or another. From the numbers that I've gotten talking, and this is verbatim anecdotal information that I've gotten from the dive shops, the active spear fishermen are probably between 120, 160, 170 year to year. You know, this is looking back and talking about the last 5 years worth of sales. I don't know the statistics and the demographic of sport fishermen. You all know better than me. So, as I said, it accounts for a very small percentage of national sales, hardly sufficient to fund daily operations and reduction of overhead. The other point I wanted to make to you all was in regards to the commercial and recreational harvest for striped bass. I was looking this information up. Was 400,000 pounds under quota last year, too.
Yeah.
I read that. I thought that was noteworthy. As a side note, from my personal conversations with a few charter boat owners and operators, Fisherman's Wharf and the Virginia Beach Fishing Center, which is very close to where my business operates, they welcomed it because they thought, you know, this is an additional revenue stream that would maybe complement their mainstay business. It wouldn't become significant, but it would complement their charters, maybe in the off season, and so on and so forth. So, in regards to the few issues that the panel brought up, it's proper etiquette as far as the Chesapeake Bridge Tunnel goes. If a diver, whether they be scuba diving or just free divers, pulls up near a boat or wants to dive a certain area, if fishermen are already there, you know, we're not going to pull a boat up right on top of them. However, if a diver flag down is already down, typically that should discourage a recreational fisherman from trolling too closely or from throwing anchor right on top. The other thing to keep in mind is that the divers are going to operate very close to the rocks because most of them are going to be free diving. And particularly when it comes to spearfishing, and we're talking about a few casts that will, I mean, spearfishermen for striped bass, and we're talking about a few individuals who will be doing this, they're, you can't really hunt striped bass with scuba gear effectively. The bubbles would scare the fish. The fish are fast moving. So these will mostly be free divers, probably I would say 90% of them, staying close to the rocks. So there should be few altercations and friction to really worry about. As far as restricting the notion of restricted Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel to spear fishermen, I don't think that would be a good idea because then you would almost promote spear fishermen going in open waters where the boats troll, you know, where the biomass of the fish is concentrating and people are trolling. So I think that by staying, associating close to structure, it's safer for the divers and you avoid any possible friction.
Thank you. Any questions, Mr. Chairman? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Any further public comment? Okay, seeing none, the matter is before the commission.
I move that we approve the as recommended by staff.
All right. Motion to approve amendments to Regulation 252 as recommended by staff. Seconded by Mr. Lane.
And I would like to also add a one-year revisit period so that that way we can, and then the staff can bring back to
You're
it.
You're not asking that be a sunset in the regulation?
No.
Just that staff
can come back, and that way we can talk about the issues in a year from now.
All right. Sounds good. Any further comments on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries unanimously.